All right, we've been talking about the Lamb is worthy, and we find that from Revelation chapter 5 in the passage here. In verse 12, Revelation 5, it says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." We're not really necessarily taking these in particular order. We've looked at so far the Lamb is worthy to receive power. Tonight we're going to look at the Lamb is worthy to receive glory. And let's just read from Revelation 5, verse 1 down to verse 12, which is a tremendous passage. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Every time I read that, I think, you know, what's precious in the sight of our prayers. I don't know, God's, that a fragrant odor that God has kept around is the prayers of the saints. And it's just phenomenal when you think about that, that God would have something that would contain the prayers of you and I. "And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" I love that. I remember when I was in the choir years ago, that was part of a song, and because Arvid took it from the Bible, but it just, I love reading that. Amen. But what we look at tonight is, number one, a few different thoughts. Why is a Lamb worthy to receive glory? What things bring glory to the Lamb? And then how do we glorify the Lamb? In Colossians chapter 1, I want to establish very simply, well, why is the Lamb worthy to receive glory? And because he's worthy to receive all glory and all power and all these things. But in Colossians chapter 1, a familiar passage of scripture to some, but it says that in Colossians 1 verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Without the Lamb, there could not be a conception or an understanding of anything that is. So everything is by God. So anything we look at, glory itself could not be glory without the Lamb. God, all things were created by him and for him, and God made everything, everything by him consists. And so, certainly, naturally, he's worthy to receive glory, because even the thought, the conception, like I said, nothing could even be thought about to look upon if it were not for the Lamb. I wrote down a note here: all the things that we covet and place above God, we could never know without the marvelous hand of our Savior. Think about that. All the things that we covet and oftentimes place above God, we could never even know without the marvelous hand of our Savior. Amazing how we fight over things sometimes, but if we just really looked at everything that's under the sun, every pleasure, every joy, and we just, "Lord, that's because of you. Thank God for you. There's nothing wrong with enjoying some things in this life. It should drive us to know that, wow, God does everything. Every little, even the slightest thing of exhilaration, we ought to look to God and say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for giving me life and putting life into me that I could see that. And Lord, since all these things that I even see or experience at their best, like I think we said Sunday, they're temporal. I get you who is eternal. You created me to have beyond. If you were to think about it, your greatest earthly temporal joy, God created you to have something far better. Him. And to have it eternally and to enjoy it forever and ever and ever. Why is that? So all things were created by him and for him. By him all things consist. That's why he's worthy. You know, it's just like if somebody goes out and they buy you whatever and you can't buy it. They're worthy of your thanks because without them you wouldn't have it. Assuming it was beyond your price range, God gave you life. He gave you breath. He gave me life. He gave me breath. All things, he's worthy. All things consist by him. Well, in Psalm 19, a few simple thoughts here. Well, what things bring glory to the Lamb? What things actually bring glory to the Lamb? In Psalm 19, now glory is brightness or splendor. It also means magnificence. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know, it's amazing how the heavens speak a pretty sound message. It says here, day unto day utter speech. Every day the heavens are speaking about the glory of God. Every day that sun comes up and that's the glory of God. Every day it goes down, that's the glory of God. I was at the Credit River a couple mornings ago and I was walking around the river there and praying and meeting with the Lord. And I was looking at across the water. I saw the moon shining down in the water. I thought, that's him. That's the glory of God. This moon, this thing that God made. And it says, notice verse 3 here. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know, the heavens speak in every language. They translate to every being that ever walked the face of the earth. They declare the glory of God. And that's our purpose, to glorify God and to walk with God and to show forth. And it says, their line or their language is going out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them he set a tabernacle for the sun, the heavens. That they went out, they go out through all the earth, every being on the face of the earth sees the glory of God. And they do it in such a way. All they do is, you know, all they do is they fulfill their created purpose. It's really that simple. You know, if we really, and you think about it, they don't do much. And I was talking to someone the other day and they were saying how much, well, they like animals better than human beings because, you know, they say, well, they're more dependable, more reliable. And I say, really, animals know why. They just do what their creator tells them to do. They follow the inherent instincts of their creator. If we would just follow our instincts of our creator, we'd be a lot nicer. We'd bless people more too. And God gave us a capacity within us to make a choice whether or not we would follow our creator or not. Because God, being love itself, understands the greatest form of love is a voluntary love. That's why we see through our Savior. You and I both know the people that it's nice to have somebody just think about us or to love us just because they can. Not because they have to, not because they feel obligated to. And God showed the type of love for us. He said he created us just to love us. You've heard me say that numerous times. But the heavens, they declare the glory of God. It declare means to make known. It means they tell it explicitly. And to manifest, they communicate plainly. They clearly communicate the brightness, the splendor, the magnificence of God. The heavens do it. The firmament does it. And they speak in a language that no one can miss, even if they wanted to. Turn to Psalm. Now we go to Psalm 96. Look at the last thing tonight. The Lamb is worthy to receive glory. Why is he worthy? Because, well, it's all about him. By him all things consist. What things bring him glory? His created things. The heavens. His creation. Well, how do we glorify him? Well, we see several things in this psalm here. That will help us in just basic things, but simple things that really make a difference. If you really believe that the Lamb is worthy, you know, like I said before, as we started this studies, You know, what we do shows what we consider worthy. I can say God is worthy of my praise, but my praise shows if I think he's worthy. I can say God is worthy of my time, but how I spend my time shows if I think he's worthy of my time. I can say God is worthy to receive glory, brightness, magnificence, and splendor, but what I exalt in my life, what I magnify in my life shows what I believe is worthy of glory. Well, how do we do it? Well, Psalm 96, verse 1, the word of God says here, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." So we sing unto the Lord, first of all. The reason I sing so much, it's easy for me to sing here at church because I sing to the Lord a lot. You know, when I first used to go to church, you know, I wasn't one of those that I felt like extraordinarily gifted to sing or anything. And so I was one of those kind of mumbling singers, you know. The music was loud enough, you kind of mumble along, you know, and you didn't want anybody necessarily to hear your voice. But then after I got saved and began to understand Bible truth and began to understand God and how great he was, I sing to God a lot. I sing to God wherever I go. I was dropping the piano off at Mark and Christine's the other morning, and I was walking down the hall, and the door cracks open, and Mark goes, "I heard you coming." Because I was just singing, you know. That's just what I do everywhere I go. And the corporate office, when I worked in before I came to the ministry, you know, and I went back to visit the office one day, and I checked into security, And they say, the lady said, "I know you." I said, "I don't know your name, but you're the guy who always sings in the hall, aren't you?" Because everywhere I went, because I sing unto him, and I magnify him, and that's what we do. That's how we bring him glory. You know, you think about it, music is such a powerful thing. That's why it's a billion-dollar industry, possibly $1 trillion by now. And because the songs, they glorify something. And God gave us the privilege of music to glorify something. And he gave it to glorify that which is eternal. And since he's worthy of glory, he said, "Would you, first of all, before you talk to me, would you sing to me? Would you sing to me a new song?" My wife and I used to date. I used to sing to her often. You know, all the different love songs and things I used to know. I used to write some too back in those days. And just express my emotion toward her. And God says, "You know what? Sing unto me. Sing unto the Lord a new song." Well, a new song comes from a new creature. Songs that tell about what he did to you, what he did for you, what he did through you. Because any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you know, that's important because when you sing about the change, well, number one, you can't sing about a change that never took place. That's why a new song is important. You can't sing to God about something that he did in your life that he never did. And you can't sing about new mercies or new things, you know, unless it ever happened, you know. And so at least you can't sing it unto him. Now, in religion, we can perform in front of people things that sound good and things that are biblically accurate and true. But when we sing unto him, man, it gets in our heart. It permeates our being. And then what happens is since we've been with him singing unto him, then we go somewhere else thinking about him. And it becomes a lot easy, naturally, to glorify him when we're around other people. So we sing unto him a new song. That glorifies him. And also, it says here, sing unto the Lord all the earth. So it's for everybody. Everybody should be involved in this. Then verse 2, it says, sing unto the Lord, bless his name. And second thing, show forth his salvation from day to day. We need to show forth his salvation. Well, what is salvation? Well, you tell me, what is your salvation? Somebody tell me, what is your salvation? Pardon? It's joy, okay. Hope of eternal life. And hope is better than a wish, because hope means you actually believe you're going to have it. I mean, by faith in Christ, we have that hope that we rest in. Well, what is your salvation? So for the, what do you... Relationship? Pardon? Peace? Pardon? Love? Okay, so before I forget, so far we've got, what'd you start with, Alexa? Joy. We've got relationship. We've got hope of eternal life. We've got love. So we show forth those things day to day in people that those are what we have. Just, and there's many more, but though that is what we have in Christ. We've got a new life, a new heart, new abilities because of Christ. And we show forth those things from day to day. We show to the world, hey, I've got love that I never had before I met God. I've got a joy that I never had before I met God. I've got a peace that I never had before I met God. I've got a hope of an eternal life that I never met God. One thing, I was preaching nursing home this morning, I was thinking about the reality, the great things about eternal life. You know, everything else we look at its best, it's just going to fade away, and we get eternal life. So in any stage of life, we can have eternal joy. And God said it glorifies Him to show forth that salvation from day to day. We show forth that we have a living Christ inside of us. The patience, the love we give the people, all those things, we show forth that salvation. And that brings Him glory. Just, it's almost like, in a way, in a manner of speaking, you know, people, you know, like in, I'm thinking about sports, and really, people make billions of dollars modeling a brand. Most of the sports figures that are very good, they make more money showing forth some company's products than they actually do playing the game. And people understand that if somebody shows forth something, that they're glorifying something. And God says that as His children, as those that know Him, if we really believe He's worthy of glory, and He is, we should show it. We show forth that glory. We glorify Him with this tongue that He changed. You know, this tongue used to say a lot of things it shouldn't say. Now it can speak life into a situation because of the Word of God. I mean, and what amazing thought. I think of the different times that this tongue spoke death to people by the vile things it used to say. And God would actually choose me and save me and say, Reiner Harper, you can now speak life to people through my Word. What a marvelous thing that is. And I like to show that forth. And we try to show it from day to day. Show forth His salvation, not ours, His salvation. What He did, what He changed us from day to day. The new mercies, the changes of heart, the spiritual growth. We show, that's why we have to be real. Nobody in this room is perfect. We show forth how we changed our heart in this situation. How this happened and that happened. And look at what God did here. We those things give the Lamb that is worthy of glory. They give Him glory. And then we not only be sure from day to day, but we declare His glory among the heathen. This is where the tough one comes in. Because declare means to make it known. It means to tell explicitly. I mean, that means no uncertain terms. And we need to declare His glory among the heathen. And why? Because He's worthy. And declare what His salvation does. The brightness of God. The splendor of God. The fullness of God. The greatness of God. The sovereignty of God. The power of God. The love. The mercy. The compassion of God. The completeness of God. The contentment we find in God. We show that. We declare His glory among the heathen. Those that don't know it. Those that don't want to know it. Those that don't think they need it. Those that don't want to hear it. We declare it among the heathen. Again, we make it very clear that God is the answer. We make it very clear. We manifest. We make it known. We communicate it plainly to the heathen that Jesus is the answer. And that He is worthy. And He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all glory. We declare that glory among the heathen. And because He sure is worthy. That's how one of the ways we glorify God. You know, because we can glorify something, and we might as well glorify the one that's worthy of it. Now, I still have enough flesh in me that I like being glorified sometimes. I wish it weren't true, and I try to crucify my flesh every day. But my heart's desire is to make known among the heathen the glory of God. To make it known that He is the one worthy of all glory. In all power and just all honor. Second thing, next thing we see, how do we glorify the Lord? We give it unto the Lord. We give unto the Lord. It says here, and skipping down a few verses, verse 7, give unto the Lord. What do we give unto the Lord? Well, in a word, everything. Just everything. That shows how much he's worth. You know, you think about, okay, we're talking about our dear friend tonight that was here. He's given his health, his wealth, countless number of relationships they could have had. Jobs, sacrifice, missed opportunities, and when our dear friend comes in, what you see glorified and magnified is alcohol. You see what it does. You see its control. You see everything about it. It glorifies it. It magnifies it. Not in a positive, but it brings it to full view. Wow, that's what that stuff does. And in all, and that's through counting years, that's what he gave unto that. Imagine what God's people, how the world, we would just give everything to God. How they could see the power of God, the majesty of God, the sufficiency of God. You know, give unto the Lord. It just says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people. Verse 7, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord the glory, glory and strength. And I'm so glad. I'll never regret giving my life to Christ. I'll never regret surrendering to the ministry. I wish I'd handled different parts of it better. I wish I could always say for every age I've served God that I walked in the Spirit every single time. That's the only mistakes I've ever made. Only bad things that have been manifested by ministry are times I didn't walk in the Spirit. Nothing's ever wrong with serving God in ministry. But when I don't walk in the Spirit, because the Bible says walk in the Spirit, he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I tell you, from that, even the sacrifices, the difficulties, I wouldn't trade any of those things. But every one of those things, they brought me closer to God. Because he's worthy. I want to give him the glory. I like this one in verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Now, this is a powerful one. If you don't catch anything else, you ought to think about this one. As you think about giving, the Lamb is worthy to receive glory. Now, if we're going to give the Lord glory due to his name, what do we know about the name of Jesus? What do you think about the name of Jesus? What do you know about the name of Jesus? No right or wrong answer. Say it again. Yes, powerful. It's the name above every name. So if you think about that, and it is powerful because it is the name above every name. And if we give unto the Lord the glory and due to his name, what will we exalt more than anything else with our being? His name. And if we would just catch the magnitude of that simple statement, to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. His name is above every name that is named in heaven and in earth. And if I take my life and I give the glory due, that means what is owed. If the Bible is accurate and correct, and that his name really is above every name, and I believe wholeheartedly that it is, if I give him glory above every name, I'm going to magnify his name above my name, my achievements, my abilities, anything this world has to offer, because that's due him. You know, because he's worthy. We give the glory due unto his name. There's no power like the name of Jesus. That when we give glory, if we give him the glory that's due, that we show them by how we trust in him. If that really is true, there's no power like him, then we'll trust in his power like no other power that even near us. Everything about him, the glory due unto his name, we rest in it, we'll believe in it, and we'll magnify it. We'll give it the glory that's due unto his name. I think of everything, just so many things get praised and glorified every single day we live, and so often missed to bring glory, to give God the glory due unto his name. I can easier exalt my personal achievements, things that I did, instead of the glory due unto his name. If I do anything that's worthy, if I do anything that even worthy, well, I won't say worthy, if I do anything at all that gets anybody's attention, you know what? If it were not for God, if he didn't create me, I could not even do that whatever. Because, and so the glory really should go back to him in absolutely every situation. And if we really catch the magnitude of that, as we give him the glory due unto his name, we would want to trust in his name above everything, you know. So next thing, we want to give him the glory due unto his name. We want to bring an offering, it says here in the bring an offering. And I think this really related to giving to the Lord. We just give him ourselves, you know. The Bible says offer a sacrifice of praise. Anything else God asks for, because God is love, we ought to give it to him. Because he's worthy. We can trust him completely. He never makes a mistake, and he's love itself. So anything he asks for, we can trust to it. And last thing we see in verse 8, and we can glorify him. It says, and come into his courts. Well, just to go into the presence of the Lord. You're here tonight because two or three are gathered together. I trust in the name of Jesus Christ, so Jesus is right here in the midst. We come into his prayer, glorifies the Lamb. We could be a lot of other places tonight glorifying what's going on. But your presence glorifies him. Your presence shows to someone that knows you that God is worth something, that God is worth your time tonight. And you can make the determination. You can, when it comes up, well, why? You can show forth his salvation. You can declare his glory among the heathen. Or you say, well, we go to church. Hopefully it's not just that. God saved me from that. Thank God for that. And so, if that's your case, he can save you from that too. But give him the glory due unto his, to come into his presence. Come to his courts, the Bible says, verse 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Lift him up, exalt him in the beauty of holiness. What does that mean? The beauty of that there's none holy like the Lord. There's no one like him. There's no one that can ever be of his magnitude, of his glory, of his power and his might. There's nothing like him. Verse 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. If the Lord reigns, then they need to bow to him. They need to trust him. The Bible says we say that among the heathen. We let them know that the Lord is the one that reigns over everything, and they ought to trust him. And since he is love, he's the best one to trust. The world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. You know, everybody worries about global this, global that. You know, God reigns. This world's not going anywhere until God says so. So we just honor him. It's my dinner date, I think. So we honor him. We glorify him. The Lord is worthy of that. Verse 11 says, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. And then shall all the trees of wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. These are all opportunities to glorify the Lord. We can sing unto him because he's worthy. Show forth his salvation. That rescue he did over my life. See, it's actually biblical that I've given my testimony 9,147 times. Can I show forth the salvation? I can speak it. Thank God for that. Show forth the salvation from day to day. we declare his glory among the heathen. Let the heathen know. Why? It's not to talk down to them. Because we're showing forth that we declared salvation. Heathen people don't have salvation. Heathen people not born again. Heathen people need to be rescued from the bondage of their sin. So we declare it. Why? Because God because God wants us to reach out to people. God gave his life for us. And we declare that among the heathen. We make it known. We tell it explicitly. We give glory to the Lord. Give him everything. We give the glory due unto his name.
What's a heathen?
It's a lost person without God.
Ignorant.
Well, ignorant means you do not know. Ignorant means you don't know.
But and rude, so, too.
Not necessarily. Ignorance is just a lack of information. But we bring an offering into the Lord. Well, actually, we're looking at glory to his name. I want to end on that one. Think about the name of God.
I just trained you right here.
Would you stop?
Why? I'll stop. Only to you rather than me.
Give until the glory due to his name. His name is above every name. And since it is above every name, let's leave here lifting it up like it is above every name. A good prayer tonight would be, say, Lord, I give myself to you. And Lord, would you examine me? And what does my life glorify the most? Just ask the Lord that directly. Lord, what does my life right now glorify the most? Does it glorify the Lamb who is worthy of glory? Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you for so great a salvation. And Lord, I thank you even for situations that I go through. You remind me how long-suffering and patient you have been with me. Lord, because I never see my sin as bad as you see it. It's easy for me to be grossly upset by things and offenses of others. But Father, you so patiently have dealt with my sin time after time. And you still continually call me unto yourself. God, I just pray tonight. Lord, I hope by the scriptures and by the time spent in the word, your creation here tonight would really believe that you're worthy of glory. You know, the things that you want from us, Father, we can't command them. We can't make them happen. Would you just somehow I'd be born in the hearts of your precious children that you're just worthy? And God, I just pray, I hope that my life emanates a reality that you're worthy of glory. Help me to show forth you, your salvation from day to day. Help me to show forth a change. Help me to show forth the light that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Rescue some lost soul tonight. I pray you, even as I'm thinking of being with my dear wife tonight, touch her eyes, help her with her allergies, and just give her great strength and encourage her heart. And Father, bless every here tonight. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who gives us a wonderful privilege to talk to you in prayer.